every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House. Already into our third week in October, we've got Jay Harper with the Farm's Choice joining us in studio to talk about your landscape and garden. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When the auto attendant answers, just press the number one button and it'll bypass you right through to the studio. Text to 411-923 or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you need to snap a picture or you need a little plant or insect identification we could possibly help with, you can send it there. Mr. Harper.
Yes, sir.
Did you bring cold weather with you this time?
I'm trying. It's getting better. I mean, it's... I think because we had such a hot summer, we're a little over sensitive maybe to the fact that it's still, you know, kind of in the 90s, maybe touching 100 a little bit. But this really isn't that uncommon for October. Our nighttime temperatures are, you know, it was in the 60s this morning, last couple mornings. The lows are, you know, so that's pretty darn tolerable. I in fact, if I had to pick for a year-round temperature, it would be this 60-90 stuff. Yeah, it's a little warm late in the afternoon, but it's not so cold in the morning you need a jacket, and it's not so cool in the evening. You can wear the same clothes all day long and be comfortable. Yes. And so I can tell you one thing. If you have a swimming pool and you've tried to get in it in the last couple weeks, you know it's cooled off.
Oh, yes. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago we went over to our friend's house on a Sunday. I don't think I got past my knees. Your kids are tougher than me.
That's how you can tell those nighttime temperatures have cooled way down. But anyway, having spent 60-some-odd years here, I think more Octobers kind of like we're having right now than it being cooler. But this is really very good growing weather. You know, it's not so cold at night. Things have stopped growing, getting good daytime temperatures, keeping the soils somewhat warm, which makes this such a great time to plant because the soils are maintaining their warmth, yet the nights are longer, the air's cooler. We're getting huge, huge relief at night. Big, you know, 30-some degree swings in temperature lets those plants really recover at night. So you can get stuff in the ground and get it established without it having a lot of stress. We're right in the middle of the transition from summer to winter lawns. People are scalping and planting winter lawns. And so there's just lots of stuff going on, whether it's shade trees or vegetables or winter lawns. It's time to get back outside.
When Eisenhower was in Talking Trees, he made the point, trim any trees where you have to drag branches across where you may be overseeding a lawn so you don't mess up the germination or the pattern of your new one. So if you got your trees done last week, can we start overseeding this week? Is it still too warm? Are we dancing on the line?
Well, the 15th of October, I've always said, is the magic day. So that was just a couple days. So we're right there. Could you wait a little longer? Sure. But, you know, then if you wait too long, you know, and the nights get cold, quote unquote, you know, that it's not that the seed won't germinate, it just slows down. So there's a couple of factors. We talk about traffic on your lawn. Do you have a front lawn you're doing? Are you going to have trick-or-treaters here in a couple of weeks? Is anybody going to be trick-or-treating this year? I don't know. I always tried to get my lawn up and established before all the kiddos started walking across my lawn. So you'd have to do that about now to do that. So there's a lot to take into consideration, but I think anytime we start getting nighttime temperatures in the 60s, especially if mid 60s and below, the Bermuda has slowed way down or is going to go dormant shortly. The old days when we used to see people creeping their winter lawns into September to try and get a jump on things, that was probably not a great idea. Bermuda was still very active and growing fast, but We're about there. Can you wait another week? Yeah. Is it okay to do it now? Yeah. I think we're safe on both counts.
And to overseed for a winter lawn. If you've got the Bermuda, we've already talked about that. It's dormant. You scalp it. If it's a raw dirt, what do you? Can you just go rye seed straight onto the Bermuda, or is there a different grass if I've got a blank dirt canvas?
We still use the same seed. We want to use a good blended perennial ryegrass seed, which will have generally three different varieties of ryegrass in it. And they try and select those, maybe one for color, one for hardiness, one for rate of growth, that sort of thing. There's different reasonings behind the blend of seed. So it's the same seed. The process is a little different. So if you're overseeding an established lawn, you want to mow it. We used to say scalp. Scalp might even be a little more severe. The current thinking is now do as little damage to your permanent lawn that you're overseeding as possible. So you got to mow it down a little bit so that the seed will actually find its way down to the soil through the canopy of the grass. But in the old days, we used to take them down to the dirt. I mean, the thing was you couldn't hardly get it short enough. That's not really the current thinking any longer. And we certainly don't want you to dethatch. We used to do that as well. So don't dethatch and don't scalp it too hard. Just enough to get the seed down through the canopy of the grass. If it's bare dirt, we'd want you to loosen up maybe a half an inch to an inch of soil on top. You can generally do that with a good stiff rake. You might have to water the area a little bit before, get it softened up a little bit, but just take a good stiff rake and scuff it up good. Then get any rocks or clods out of there, sow your seed, and then cover it lightly with a layer of some type of organic mulch or compost, something that will protect that seed, keep it moist, keep the birds from getting to too much of it, but mainly keep it from drying out. We don't want seed if you just threw seed on hard, bare ground, kind of like this countertop, and it's just sitting there, it's harder to keep it wet enough for it to germinate. Would it germinate? Yeah, I've seen seed germinate in the beds of pickup trucks.
you take a sack out of the leftover seeds from last year and you got a couple sprouts coming through.
Absolutely,
the bag.
Yeah. So if it's got enough moisture, it'll germinate. It's hard to do that on hard ground like that. So scuffing it up a little bit, so the seed can get down in a little bit, and then covering it lightly. Not too much, maybe just a quarter of an inch or so with some type of organic material. And then keep it wet, keep it moist. Probably the more frequent you can water it during the day, the better. Don't water so much at one time that you get puddles or standing water.
And once it's germinated, once you see the sprouts coming up, you can cut that watering back pretty significantly.
You might, once you start to see it come up and your area is green, there's enough cover there that it's green, I would get it down to maybe once or twice a day. Then once you've mowed it the first time, certainly down to once a day. Then after the second mowing, you can generally go to what's going to be your watering pattern for the rest of the winter, maybe two or three times a week. And as you do that, though, you're gonna increase the duration of the water. So we're watering to get it germinated maybe 5 to 10 minutes, maybe even a little less, depending on your lawn, three, four, or five times a day. Once we start cutting it back, maybe we go to once a day. Well, we don't leave it at 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. We might go to 5 to 10 minutes. And then once we go to maybe every other day once, then we're going to be back into the 10 to 20 minutes kind of a thing. So longer, deeper waterings once that grass has established some roots. We want it to be as deep-rooted as we can.
And you had mentioned no ponding. There's a few areas in my yard that do pond. Will that drown the seed?
Well, it could. I mean, it's okay if it kind of ponds for a little bit. If it's standing all the time, if there's still standing water there and your lawn's about to kick on again and water again, then you get to where you might not get germination because it's just, it's just underwater. If you have areas like that, one thing might be you might try adding a little more soil or something to bring it up. It's pretty low probably. Another thing you could do would be to actually aerate it, punch some holes in it, try and get it to drain a little better. Well, the other thing is just shorten the length of time your water is running. That area is going to stay a lot wetter than the other areas. Maybe increase the frequency, shorten the duration for a while till you get your grass to come up.
It used to be nice and flat, but then a DOG happened, and it's not everything's not as flat as it used to be.
It's really hard to have a good lawn with one of those in your yard.
Now, how do you fertilize any different on a winter lawn than you do your summer lawns, or is it the same type of fertilizer, same type of nitrogen, three-letter?
Well, fertilizing, when you say different, you brought that up, a different type of fertilizer perhaps. When we get cooler or cold soils, some of the common forms of nitrogen that we use are hard for the plant to be able to take up. The conversion that has to take place before the plant is used, or before the nitrogen is usable by the plant, is much harder for the little bacteria that are doing that when they're cold and not active. So if you go to something that's more of a winter lawn type fertilizer with maybe a nitrate fertilizer in it is good. Organics work good all the time. They are slower in colder weather than they are in warmer weather.
And I said three number, but I meant three elements. What are the three elements like the nitrogen, that represent a number? Like
three
seven.
Numbers on a bag of fertilizer represent first nitrogen, second phosphorus, and lastly potash. Nitrogen typically is the most important, the first number for growing leaves and stems. So for grass production, that's what you probably want to concentrate on.
All right. Well, during the break, I'm going to text my wife and tell her to turn down the sprinkler runtime a little bit, clean up a few little ponds, and we'll get back here and continue our conversation. We're going to have a lot to talk about today. It's a beautiful time of the year. It's fall season, planting season, and Mr. Harper, I've heard you say before, your favorite time to plant is now.
Absolutely.